You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, fired up for Week 7 action, which will commence on Sunday into Monday. We got started with an excellent contest on Thursday night. Could Thursday night football be turning it around? We've complained for the last couple of years about the lack of competitiveness of these games, especially later in the season. We've had a few good ones in a row here, and Thursday night was a big thriller, George. The Raiders knock off the Chiefs on the last play of the game.
Yeah, the game wouldn't end, right? Penalty after penalty. There were four penalties in a row. I mean, come on. Tell me you weren't hoping for Tavecchio to miss that extra point.
It was interesting, right? It would have been pretty interesting had he had that push to overtime. It might have sent Amari Cooper towards a 300-yard game. He's obviously the star of the fantasy world this last couple of days. I doubt anybody's going to beat his total for the week, but this is why they play the games. Cooper bounces back after a horrific month, and he picks up 11 catches for 210 yards and two touchdowns, George. There still were a couple of drops in there, which people can't wait to point out, but the reality is he has the second highest fantasy total of the entire season.
The problem is, how many people started him? I mean, he was hard to start. Yeah.
I agree, and I'll tell you an unfortunate admission on my part. I have him in two leagues. I started him in one. I did not start him in the other. It was a 47.5-point total that I left on the bench. I would say it's the biggest miss of my fantasy career. I technically started him in favor of Marshawn Lynch, who didn't come anywhere near close to his production, plus got kicked out of the game, so I effectively had a 46.5-point swing.
Ouch. Yeah, that's a little painful, yes. There, right? I don't think you're the only one. I believe Gary Davenport might have done the same thing because he was complaining that he got 0.9 points from Lynch instead of the points from Cooper, I believe. So, hey, 0.9 points, better than nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, look, there is a lot to talk about here from a fantasy standpoint. Derek Carr with a huge game. Alex Smith with another huge game. Kareem Hunt keeps on rolling. Although some fantasy owners out there are pretty greedy, he doesn't get in the end zone, but the guy becomes the second player in NFL history to gain over 1,000 scrimmage yards in his first 7 games, George, matching Eric Dickerson's total from 83.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, he really just has been great pretty much from the word go. He can run, he can catch, he's a big part of that offense. He didn't get in the end zone. You're right, fantasy owners are greedy. I'm greedy. I have Hunt, and I was, I don't want to say upset, but not thrilled that he didn't score.
Yeah, I mean, in a PPR league, he still picks you up. Let's see, he had 117 plus 4. Pretty good total. You know, he's knocking out 15 points a game when he's not even getting in the end zone. So we will talk a lot about everything else. Jared Cook sighting. We've got the quarterbacks to talk about. The Chiefs targeted 10 different wide receivers, so we're going to talk a little bit of how to sift through that beyond Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. It's the Roto Experts, Mike and George, for the next 2 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're back on the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll be here for the next couple of hours going over What's coming up on the slate for this week 7? Obviously, we'll continue to recap this Alex, the Alex Smith Derek Carr showdown. I guess that's one way to put it, but I meant Chiefs Raiders. I do want to tell you about how to reach us today. First of all, hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And if you want to give us a call, you can. 844-843-6879. We'll take some calls, lineup questions, all kinds of stuff going on there. And thank you for finding us wherever you might have, whether it's TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio, terrestrial radio stations around the country, or the Fantasy Sports Radio app. We do appreciate it, and thanks for listening. So, George, we'll continue to go through this game. It's an interesting box score because there's obviously tons of points on it, tons of yardage gained. And I'm curious, I'll ask a question before we break down their play specifically. Which fantasy quarterback would you rather have the rest of the way, Derek Carr or Alex Smith?
I'm probably going with Derek Carr. I think they'll just throw the ball. Well, they don't seem to have much of a running game, right? Lynch got suspended anyway, but even if he wasn't suspended, he's not doing much. I don't know if I really trust Washington or Richard to get the job done here, so I'll go with Carr here. I think KC will rely more on the run game as the season progresses. Not to mention, you know, you got to start to factor in weather. It's going to start to get very cold in Kansas City.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's all sound. I have no problem if people pick Alex Smith. He's playing like an MVP candidate, so you can't really complain about a 25 for 36, 342, and 3 touchdowns. It's his third effort this year with 3 touchdowns or more. So safe to say this is a different Alex Smith than we have seen in the past. They are pushing it downfield. He targeted 10 different receivers, one of whom was Tyreek Hill with 6 for 125 and a touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson, George, with 8 targets, 5 catches for 69 yards. It seems like for several years we've been looking to try to find a guy that might step up as a pass catcher. And certainly we're really trying to sift through it this year who is going to be a compliment to Tyreek Hill. Our colleague Jake Seeley suggested during the preseason that it might be DeMarcus Robinson. And it's okay that it's taking 7 or 8 games to do it because he's a young player. But do you think that this could potentially be the guy that's the complement to Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce?
Well, it could be. But I don't know if I'm going to bank on that. I think I got Wilson there as well. I don't know if I'm going to bank that Robinson's the man there. Like I said, I think he's a bye week filler, an interesting guy, a matchup play. Sure, a guy who I'm going to rely on week in and week out. He's going to be the number 2 there. He's going to get all the single coverage because teams are worried about Hill, worried about Hunt. I don't know if I can go there yet.
Yeah, I think totally fair. By the way, we are going to put up a poll in a minute on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Which fantasy quarterback would you rather have for the rest of the season, Derek Carr, Alex Smith? I would imagine Carr could win out, but I'm really curious to see if people have been swayed somewhat on Alex Smith. Before the season, George, most fantasy owners would have considered Alex Smith to be a non-starter and a guy that you'd only have in 2 quarterback leagues, but I would imagine he's changed some perceptions through these first 7 games.
I would think he has as well. Like I say, he can certainly be in there. We're talking top 12 quarterbacks. I think he's certainly in there right now. But there are some other quarterbacks that we weren't expecting that are in there as well that could push people around. Like guys like Deshaun Watson. Dak Prescott wasn't in a lot of people's top 12. He's playing so well. But then, of course, we lost Aaron Rodgers as well.
This is true. Kareem Hunt, to put a bow on it, 117. No touchdowns. But, man, that 34-yard run, I think typifies what he is capable of, right? He's very elusive, and he had people on skates really through the entirety of that run. He's very quick. He can be really explosive at times, and he's proven to be a workhorse back. Now, as a rookie, you hope that he doesn't slow down towards the end of the year, but right now you're just going to ride him. He's the best running back in fantasy football effectively, and even like we said, even on a night where he doesn't score, he picks up tons of yardage and a few catches to boot. Let's talk about that Oakland running game first before we talk about Derek Carr, because obviously Marshawn Lynch has not been productive. Now he's going to be suspended. I have him on a team. As I mentioned earlier, I effectively played him over Amari Cooper. There was a bunch of decisions to make there. It's only a 1 running back and 2 wide receiver league, so you're not really playing a ton of guys. I had Chris Hogan and Pierre Garçon in front of Cooper, so that's why that decision came down the way it did. But I have to defend myself, George. still smarting from the fact that 47.5 points is staring at, up at me on the bench. I just want this week to be over in that league so I don't have to look at it anymore.
I don't know if anybody can really get on anybody who benched Cooper. He was playing so poorly that, like I said, I don't know if any, and Derek Carr was beat up, didn't look all that great last week. So I'm not
blaming
anybody.
That was my biggest concern. That's what you mentioned was my biggest concern. Carr hadn't thrown for 200 yards in over a month, and he's got a broken transverse process. I actually didn't know if he was healthy. And then, of course, he comes out, throws it 52 times for 417 yards. So, you know, I egg on my face on that one, but it's not like Amari was in the middle of a, you know, like he was in the middle of a heat check where everybody would suggest that I can't possibly bench him. So back to the Oakland running game. Marshawn Lynch now going to be suspended. He hasn't been productive. The line hasn't really been as dominant as we suspected from a run blocking standpoint. You think Lynch is releasable at this point?
Yeah, I do. I don't think there's much left there. I wasn't touching Lynch at draft time. I think I said it over and over again. Got retired for a year. Wasn't all that great in his last year. Was hurt. Now wants to come back and play. No, wasn't buying that at all. So I didn't touch Lynch in any leagues. So I'm not surprised that he's. I mean, you're right about the line. You know, the Raiders and the Cowboys' offensive line is just not the same as it was. There was only maybe 1-2 in the league, and they're not playing anywhere near up to that capability. So strange, and that is part of the problem there. But he's not elusive anymore, Lynch. He's not really beast mode anymore. Every now and then you're going to see it, but not game in, game out here. So I had very little interest in Lynch. The only reason I'll hesitate on dropping him is, once again, any running back with a pulse has value here. Running backs are dropping all the time here, so maybe you want to keep him for depth there. And he did appeal the suspension, so maybe he serves it next week, maybe he does not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the basis of the appeal would be. He put his hands on him. That's the suspension. Do I think he was trying to shove him down? No, because he kind of like grabbed his shirt and sort of held him up. He made sure he didn't fall, but I don't think that's enough to warrant a dismission of that suspension. What he did through the entirety of the event was wrong. Running onto the field, I get that his heart was allegedly in the right place, but they don't need you out there. They don't need you out there.
He's wrong times two. I mean, he's wrong on both counts. Just going on the field alone could get you suspended to join a brouhaha. You know, plus you touch a ref. You can never touch a ref in any kind of circumstance. So he's wrong. He's got no argument here. And whether or not he's doing it. I mean, think of it. What if everybody runs on the field? Oh, we're just trying to break things up. And now you have 106 guys out there. I mean,
totally,
it can't happen.
100%.
And there's no reason for him to be boy. When was the last time someone got hurt in a football fight? Anyone? Come on, anyone.
Like a two guy fight. This is a long time ago, so it illustrates your point. And it wasn't even really a fight because it was a cheap shot. Is when Bill Romanowski ripped off that guy's helmet in practice and punched him in the face and like ended the guy's career.
I'm not talking about practice. I'm talking during a game. We've seen practice fights happen all the time. Steve Smith had knocked people out. So did Michael Westbrook. That happens. I don't care about practice. Yeah. I'm talking in a real NFL game. No. When was the last time someone got hurt in a fight? You're wearing all this padding. You're wearing a helmet. No one's getting hurt. Plus, you got 10 other guys looking to break it up. All right. So it was silly. Marshawn Lynch had no reason to be out there.
Agreed. So now, as you said, running backs with a pulse. Could that valuable running back with a pulse be Jalen Richard?
Running backs are valuable. We're seeing, there's not a lot there as far as skill in the first place. You know, 5-6 guys we trust, and after that, it goes off the edge of the table real quick. So that's why I don't know if I would drop him if I own him. I'm just not starting him, you know, assuming I have other backs on my roster. Now, if you want to give me, I can drop Lynch for this guy, that guy, that could come up. Maybe there's a 10-team league. It's certainly possible that there could be somebody out there in PPR leagues that has some value. But in standard leagues or 12-team leagues, it's hard to see me just dropping them. Unless, once again, you're 2-4, or I guess next week you could be 2-5. You have to get a win here. You got bye week problems here. Dropping Lynch to pick up, you know, a wide receiver to fill a bye, I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington both see 9 carries. Washington gets the goal line carry. Richard with 4 catches for 45 yards. I think he's somebody that you might want to pick up again for depth. As George said, running backs with a pulse. So if you are stashing Elijah McGuire, you want to swap him out for Jalen Richard, I'd give it a shot with Lynch out for a game. Last thing I'll ask you before the break, George. Amari obviously has this explosive game. People are going to insert him back in the lineups. But which of the two Raiders wide receivers do you have more faith in, Amari or Michael Crabtree, for the rest of the season?
Oh, we've seen this story with Cooper before, right? Week one, he had a big game, bunch of touchdowns, and was quiet. I'm still going to go Crabtree. It's close, but I'll still go Crabtree. But Cooper is definitely back in my lineup.
Got it. So that's a poll. That's our other poll. Which Raiders receiver do you have more faith in for the rest of the season? I'm curious to see how that one plays out. I think, as George said, it'll be close. So we'll put a bow on that one. We'll talk about injuries next because there's a few big updates, including Jameis Winston looking like he's going to make the start against the Bills. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, thanks again for joining us this morning. It's Mike and George here until 9. We've got a lot on the network today, college football stuff, plenty of other pro football talk, weekend fantasy football talk. George, since we have a minute, we're both Yankees fans. I didn't have a ton of confidence going into last night's game with Verlander throwing. I'm not really going to beat up on David Robertson for letting the game get away from them late. The guy's been brilliant during the postseason. Bottom line is the Yankees scored one run.
Again, they only scored three runs in three games in Houston. I mean, whatever it is about that ballpark, they don't hit there. They had people on base all night. They got people
they
on base.
They should be hitting tons of home runs in that ballpark of all the ones that they play in.
Actually, Houston plays as one of the better pitcher ballparks in the majors.
Really?
Yes, it does. Actually, it might be even number one.
That's amazing.
It is. I agree. But outside of the short porch in left field, the park is deep and the ball doesn't travel all that well. But,
high walls too.
Yeah, it's a weird. I hate that thing in left field.
I do not like it.
Right, I don't mind the idea of the short, but that thing that we're just—that's a 90-degree right angle. I mean, at least they got rid of Tal's Hill because that was the stupidest thing going. Let's see if I can kill my own center fielder.
I agree. I thought it was the oddest thing. They were trying to do a retro move, and the reason that we got rid of that is because people could have gotten hurt, and it was confusing, and it was just creating an odd obstacle, like it was a miniature golf course in the middle of the center field.
Remember when they opened up Comerica, and Comerica had the flagpole in play? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can kill a center fielder crashing into a nice concussion thing there. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, it was okay. Like in the old ballparks, when it was 500 feet from home plate, but you're putting it 400 feet from home plate, and guys are going to run into it. So, look, as you said, somebody asked me yesterday, Mike Florio from our network, what do you think of the Yankees' chances? I was like, I think the rest of the way they have about a 60% chance because they got two shots at it. But I didn't have tons of confidence in last night's game. Now, maybe you level set it now and you have to adjust the odds to 45 to 50% for the Yankees. I don't know. I just think that they've been really good about overcoming these kinds of scenarios. I think they've played very well, but obviously nothing would surprise me tonight.
Yeah, they're certainly no better than 50-50. I think it's Charlie Morton versus Sabathia. Sabathia pitched great last time versus Houston, but I wonder if he's going to have problems the second time around. They've seen him. But then again, Houston actually hits hard throws much better than soft throws. So that could be in play there as well. But let's face it, this is a bullpen game. I mean, Girardi's going to go to that bullpen as soon as possible. That's what's going to happen. If CC can give you three, four innings, give up a run, maybe two, I think the Yankees are in good shape.
Yeah, I think the best you're expecting out of him is five, right? Because unfortunately, a Chad Green throw a 38 pitches last night.
Green's
probably terrible, but he's probably done. I think you put him at the back end of the bullpen for extra inning work now. Dave Robertson only threw 12 pitches, so
he's
available.
Conley can go two innings. Chapman can go two innings. Robertson can go at least an inning, maybe an inning plus. That's five innings right there. So, like I said, Sabathia can give you three. You can cobble together the rest, assuming the game doesn't go extra innings here. I don't think Girardi's going to have much leeway with Sabathia. You know, let him get in. Yeah, he hasn't done it all year. He hasn't let Sabathia get in and out of trouble all year, and he can't, certainly can't
including
do it in
this
game
postseason.
Seven. Yeah, he's
including the postseason.
Yeah, I don't. It's going to, and I think more of the pressure is probably on AJ Hinch because his bullpen's not very good. You know, yeah. Charlie Morton. I know you look at his stats from game one. It looks like he pitched terribly. He didn't. You know, that home run by Todd Frazier against Morton was a joke. I still have no idea how that ball got out. You know, and in the summer when the air is heavy,
wasn't even looking at it.
He one-handed it pretty much, and it still got out. I mean, that was wow. So you know, and that was the big hit of that game. So Charlie Morton, I think, pitched okay in there. I would give the pitching edge to Houston as far as starting pitching. But like I said, if the Yankees can survive the first 3-4 innings and just be a tie game or ahead, then I think the advantage switches to them.
I'll still flat one thing about Jose Altuve, who is, you would say, likely to be the AL MVP. You'd put your money down on him to be named the MVP?
I think he was until Judge went bananas again in September. And now I think Judge brought it closer. I mean, they're both deserving. They both won, too. I think the fact that Judge was in such a bad slump does hurt him. You know, Altuve was very consistent all year long. I said they're both great players. I think if I had a vote, I'm probably going Judge. He's the rookie. Yeah. No one could have saw this coming. And to put up these kind of, people forget he's still a rookie. I mean, no one could have seen this coming. So I'm probably voting Judge. But like I said, I don't fault anybody who votes Altuve. I fault anybody who votes anyone other than those two.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely. But what I was going to say about Altuve, guys, you know, proven to be MVP-worthy player, may very well get one. And we have seen him now do this for years. But every time he hits a home run, I'm like, how is he doing this? Every time. I marvel at it. It is an amazing feat that a player of that stature can do what he does. Some of the other stuff, maybe you could expect out of a diminutive player, but it really is impressive to me. And as much as we watch it, he still amazes me. He's just one of those types of guys that captures me when he's doing certain things on the field.
Well, as someone who's also vertically challenged, I'm all for Altuve. All right, go for it, Jose. I agree with you. I don't know how he does. He reminds me of Dustin Pedroia. You know, but one thing I'd be afraid of is Pedroia flamed out, right? Because eventually that side, you're going to lose your strength. You know, it's tough. Yeah. You get hurt more. So I wonder if that'll happen to Altuve, you know, 5-6 years down the line as well. But for right now, he's a dynamic player. I'll ask you this question, Mike. Where are you drafting him next year?
The home run ball he's got 24 homers, so there's not like there's a lack of power, but I think he will still get bumped down a few notches because other players like Trout and Harper and your Stantons of the world are hitting many more homers than he can potentially. But I would think he cracks your top four.
I think he's number two. I'll take Trout ahead of him. I think Trout's the best player in the game. I'll take Trout. I'm not taking Harper ahead of him. I think Harper's great, but he gets hurt every year. I'm tired of dealing with these injuries I never have them anyway. So I'm not taking Harper ahead of him. Goldschmidt is in the conversation, absolutely. Stanton's not yet. And if he puts together another big year, we could talk about this in 19. But I hope we're taking Stanton top four next season. He'll be in the first round, but not top four. Like I said, Harper I can't do because he gets hurt. I think Altuve's number two for everything he gives you. Yeah, it gives you enough home runs to matter. And home runs are no longer, by the way, as valuable because guys are hitting them again. A couple of years ago, we were dying for home runs. Now we're not. So you can find power late. So that also helps out there with waiting on as far as taking Altuve early and grabbing power late. I think you can make a very good argument for Altuve at number two. The speed he gives you is valuable. Average. Enough home runs to matter. I think I'd go Altuve number two.
Anybody else besides the three that we mentioned with him and Goldschmidt and Trout? Anybody else in that conversation?
I mean, you got to have other guys.
Oh, that's your top three.
But I think I'd have Goldschmidt.
That's your top three, pretty locked down?
Yeah, I think I'd have Goldschmidt number three there. You mentioned Machado and guys like that, but they're sort of bounce-back guys. Great players, but bounce-back. Donaldson, same thing. Guys, they could have monster years, certainly first-round picks. I will not be taking a pitcher top three. That's one thing I can assure you.
Yes, I think that's fair. Okay, so... good stuff. Good baseball conversation. Obviously, Dodgers are there. They've proven to be, from wire to wire, if you're taking the entirety of the season, they've proven to be the best team. Clearly, the Indians were upset, and they had a really long stretch of looking like they were the best team in baseball. But from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, you have to say it's the Dodgers, and here they are waiting to see what happens in Game 7 tonight. So good luck to everybody in the New York area, including myself, and to Houston. Good luck next year, hopefully. So we'll move over to the injuries. We'll continue this through the next couple of segments. So the New York Giants, well, the first, I think the biggest story right now on the injury front is Jameis Winston is declared to play. I didn't necessarily expect that that was going to happen. He's got a sprained AC joint in his shoulder, something that's very painful. Obviously, they've worked through it. He's gotten tons of treatment, but there's no way he's going to be 100% on Sunday. So what does this do? How does this impact the offense? Is it a Doug Martin day, or are the other two wide receivers in Evans and Jackson going to have to, you're going to have to temper expectations on those guys?
Oh, I definitely think you have to temper expectations. You mentioned he's got the shoulder injury. I also didn't expect him to play this week. I thought he'd be out, and now I have him. In fact, I think I have him in the league. I'm playing you this week, and I have an interesting decision to make. Actually, my whole team in that league, by the way, I have more decisions. I mean, I have Fournette in that league, and I got he may be out. Delonte Walker starting tight end. He might be out. Crap. So not going to be a good week for me. But as far as Winston's concerned, I'm worried. Because I don't know if he can finish the game. I don't know how good he can be, even if he can play. Buffalo's coming off a bye, so they're fresh. They've been playing good defense all year long. Anyway, it's in Buffalo. Winston, even when he was healthy, hasn't looked all that great. So I think there's some worries here. But eventually it comes down to, who else do you have? I mean, in the league that I'm playing you in, it's Winston or McCown. And I'm still, I can't believe I'm actually thinking about this. I'm actually thinking about going with McCown against Miami rather than Winston in Buffalo.
I would actually consider that, too. I honestly think this is I don't think it's the best call for the Bucs. Now, you know, they haven't been playing well. They probably feel like they desperately need a win. And this is actually a tough matchup. The Bills' defense has played really well. So they probably feel like they need Jameis versus Fitz at their disposal. But I actually think it's a tough call to have him try to play through this. So in addition to that, just to focus on this game for a minute, Quan Alexander, linebacker, Robert Ayers, Lavonte David, Noah Spence, and T.J. Ward are all questionable. Now, some of these guys have missed time and may be coming back, but you have to keep an eye on it because those are, I mean, those are like five of their best defenders. Four of them are starters. I think Spence, I don't technically know if he's a starter, but he's in the rotation. I'm just saying it could really lead to a big day for LeSean McCoy. And we'll put a bow on it for this segment now, and we'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of the injuries. Sterling Shepard, DeMarco Murray, Leonard Fournette after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Extras. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back on the Roto Experts, and we're talking about injuries. It's not the most fun part, but honestly, there's a lot to go through, and we need to let you know who to play and who may be sitting. So we'll continue back through some of the major ones. Sterling Shepard, George, was a guy that I had no expectations at the beginning of the week that he was going to play, and now here we are, and he might be good to go. So unfortunately, this is a late game. You got a 4:25 game here, and you may not know at 1 o'clock if Shepard can go or not.
Well, why do you care? They're playing Seattle. I'm not starting Shepard anyway. So I don't worry. But, I mean, listen, you could be in a league where you don't have any other options, and fine, you got to start who you got to start with. But I'm not starting Shepard. I'm not starting Lewis in this game. I might start Evan Ingram. You know, that's one guy I could sell WC going with here. But as far as the giant wide receivers, what's left of them, I mean, if Beckham was healthy, obviously I'm starting Beckham, but I wouldn't be all that high on him. You know, Brandon Marshall would be a no. You know, so I'm not all that, I think it's a good week for fantasy owners to stay away from Shepard, whether he plays or not.
Yeah, I'll give you a sense of where this is at in my one of my leagues. I have Shepard twice, maybe three times. He's a player that I targeted pretty heavily. Davante Adams, Danny Amendola, Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, and Sterling Shepard are my wide receivers. I can start four, and I'm starting everybody but Shepard. So it gives you a sense where I'm at. I think despite the fact that he has become the number one option in New York, nursing an injury against Seattle, yeah, something can happen. But you're doing this as a contrarian play in a DFS lineup in a tournament. You're not doing this because you're trying to win your weekly league.
Right. Like I said, I just don't see a big game coming here from the Giant passing offense. That offensive line is still a work in progress. Seattle, once again, coming off a bye. I guess the only, if I'm an optimist, well, they are coming out east. Sometimes that's a bad thing for these West Coast teams, but I don't see that being a problem after I buy.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So we're playing in that two quarterback league. Is that where we're playing each other?
At some league. I don't remember which one.
That's probably.
I rarely look at who I'm playing. I just happen to know because I think it's on the front board. It shows you who you're playing. I never know who I'm playing.
I have Derek Carr in that league, so you're off to a good start.
Yay!
but I have Shepard on IR in that league. I'm not taking him off yet. I'm starting players like Pierre Garçon, T.Y. Hilton, Jarvis Landry, and Tevin Coleman over him. So I'm not taking a shot here with Shepard. Again, like George said, it could be a really deep league where your options are, excuse me, toast. But I'm going to move on from Sterling Shepard, at least for a week. But just keep in mind, if you do need him, he may be available at 4 o'clock. So continuing down through, Luke Kuechly, George, he was practicing like on Wednesday, but then they shut him down basically the rest of the week. I don't know that means that there was a setback or if they just wanted to kind of track the progress. He's not going to be playing against the Bears on Sunday. All I can tell you is that's a slight adjustment to Jordan Howard being a positive on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I would go with that. Jordan, you're starting Jordan Howard anyway. You had a monster game last week. Maybe could have gotten in the end zone for me. That would have been nice. But other than that, Jordan Howard, he's been sort of my bugaboo this season, Mike, in a league I play in. I benched him one league. Got hurt the one week, and that hurt. That I lost the league by a point because he went out early. Then the next week I benched him because we weren't sure about him. He lit it up. And then I think I started. He's been going up and down for me, and so I blame him for my fantasy troubles.
We'll break down the games individually a little bit later, and I may throw some injury tidbits at you as we break down the games really in the second hour. But center Ryan Khalil for the Panthers is expected to return this week, George, after being sidelined with a neck injury since week one. I bring that up because we saw the amount of trouble that they had with Philly in that Thursday night game where Fletcher Cox was just blowing up the middle of the line for basically the entire game. Hopefully Ryan Khalil comes back, helps Cam Newton out a little bit.
You know what helps Cam Newton? Helps to help the running game. I mean, that's really what you want here. I mean, the running game has been dismal. It just has not been good at all. I mean, you keep seeing these numbers for, Stewart, he's barely averaging over a yard a carry. That's ugly, gross. And you're not starting Stewart tomorrow. I hope you're not. I would need to see something out of him more. McCaffrey's been fine. People are complaining about McCaffrey. But in a PPR league, he's been just fine. He's doing what you
totally
want him to
fine.
Do. He's catching 8-10 balls a game, only for 50 yards, maybe not getting in the end zone, but, you know, his touchdowns are cyclical. It's hard to rely on them. You want him to catch balls, that's exactly what he's doing.
In a PPR league, if you're not encouraged by the first six games of his career, then I don't know what to tell you. It's what you've drafted him for. If you wanted it to look like what Kareem Hunt looks like, well, then you have unrealistic expectations. I'm just telling you, where you drafted McCaffrey, he's delivering for you right now. Jordan Matthews, questionable, George, for the Bills. Obviously, he's a guy that you could take a flyer on to put on your bench. But if you're starting him this week, I think you're just taking a flyer or it's a crazy deep league. But just keep in mind that he's getting healthy and he's somebody that could be a contributor moving forward in this Bills offense, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if you're starting Jordan Matthews, good luck to you. I mean, he wasn't doing much before the injury. He has not had a lot of time in that offense or working with Tyrod Taylor. I got to tell you, Mike, who are you starting on Buffalo? Charles Clay's out. Tyrod Taylor's not running of late. I don't think I'm starting anybody here outside of LeSean McCoy, and even he's not doing much, but you have no choice. You're starting McCoy.
Yeah, I think with the Bucs' banged-up defense, you could expect a little bit out of McCoy this week, more than you've gotten. So hopefully that can turn it around. Let me say one thing. Sean McDermott added during the press conference that tight end Charles Clay could possibly play again this season after suffering a knee injury against the Bengals 2 weeks ago. All that means is that's bad news, right? He's hurt enough that he could possibly play.
That's actually more disturbing than anything else. Clay was not supposed to be out long-term with this. Now he's saying he could play. That sounds like something else happened during surgery. They discovered something.
So, right, he was trying to say it positively, and it's all negative.
Right, that's actually not good news at all. I would be very worried now about Charles Clay.
100%. Right. I would think you could actually release him after a comment like that, because if he's saying he could possibly play, that means, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get him back in December. That's not going to help your fantasy team. You don't need to stash a
second
tight end like
that.
The
thing is, if they're worried about him not coming back till December, they have not placed him on IR. So that tells you something as well. I don't know, maybe he just misspoke or said... I mean, he may have actually screwed up his words here, because if he was going to be out till December, he'd already be on IR. He's already been out 2 weeks, so there'd be no reason to not put him on IR if he's going to be out six more. So my guess is his return is still about 2 weeks away.
Yeah, so the Packers are all kinds of banged up. The Packers are probably matching the Ravens with one of the most banged up teams out there. Obviously, it leads with Aaron Rodgers. We could talk about Brendan Hundley if you want from here until the end of the show, but we're not going to, because Brett Hundley's a guy you pick up in two QB leagues and super flex leagues if you need some of the depth, but he can't just roll him out there against the Saints expecting Aaron Rodgers type numbers. Their offensive line is banged up. He obviously struggled coming into the middle of the game last week. We'll see what happens with Brett Hundley. It's a wait and see situation for me, correct?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's solo quarterback leagues. I guess once again, we could play the game Winston or Hundley.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, Hundley's playing against the Saints, who, granted, that they played a better defense than any of us truly expected, but it's in Green Bay. You still got to cover those three receivers. Winston's all banged up. I might go with Hundley for the upside here. You know, a chance he throws. I think he's going to throw a couple of picks, sure, but I think he could throw, you know, 270 and two touchdowns. Wouldn't shock me either. You know, if the game gets into a shootout, maybe it's three touchdowns. I don't think Hundley... It's all because of the game. I think the Saints need to score a ton of points, so Green Bay is going to have to throw a lot. Green Bay can't stop anybody on defense, so that'll force Hundley to throw the ball a lot. So that's my thinking there, that Hundley might be a play over someone like McKinnon.
Winston, you mean?
Yes. Let's say McKinnon? Yes. I don't know why McKinnon's coming to my head.
Well, let's see. You want to talk about the
Vikings? I think I have McCown in my head.
So you mentioned Leonard Fournette earlier. Questionable to play after not practicing at all this
week. Grab Chris Ivory.
Yeah, we talked. I did the Roto Expert shows on Thursday and Friday earlier this week, and that was a common theme. Even if you don't have Leonard Fournette, Chris Ivory is a valuable at least 1 week start potentially. He's dealing with an ankle injury. It's going to be a game time situation, and that game is at 1 o'clock against the Colts. So it's a really good matchup. You're hoping to have Fournette really go nuts, but. I think you just approach it the way you always do with these top players. If he's out on the field, he's in your lineup, right?
Yeah, that's generally the way I work it. I mean, I have Fournette in a couple of leagues. The league I'm playing, you and the Scott Fishbowl in one other league, and he starts in all of them. If he starts with Jacksonville, he starts for me.
Marquise Lee, who people have picked up in recent weeks, is questionable to play, so you got to keep an eye on him. I think that sounds like a game time decision on Marquise Lee. It's really going to depend on roster construction. He's a depth wide receiver, but with the Lions and the Texans, by the way, the Lions and the Texans are on bye, so that's a bunch of players. That's Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson in most leagues. We're talking Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins, Golden Tate, who's also injured, Marvin Jones. You know, even Eric Ebron and Ryan Griffin have gotten some love from people with the tight end carousel being such a mess. So a lot of players out there. If you need Marquise Lee as a final wide receiver, you just got to wait for the 11:30 inactives on Sunday. Last thing I'll say, Jets defensive lineman Muhammad Wilkerson. Gosh, Muhammad Wilkerson's been hurt the whole year. This is a selfish thing because I have Muhammad Wilkerson in an IDP dynasty league, and he's been hurt the whole year. He's not doing anything. As a player of that caliber, you never want to release George, but the guy's just, I don't even think he's getting a full complement of snaps every week.
Yeah, he's got the little bit of a toe injury there, so yeah. You mentioned a little selfish thing there, and Jets are That's maybe the story of the NFL this year, the way they're playing.
Yeah, they are. We'll get into the game breakdowns in the next hour. Last thing I'll ask you about, DeMarco Murray, limited in practice on Friday, questionable versus the Browns. The fact that he was limited on Friday might be leaning me towards saying that he is going to play. I think they should sit him because they have a bye next week and they're playing the Browns this week and just give it to Derrick Henry. But I think you're going to have to sort that out, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be an 11:30 game time decision on Sunday morning.
I bet you he plays and gets a limited snap count and screws everybody. It's almost like I want to recommend Derrick Henry to play despite the fact that he's not starting. It's a tough thing to talk about. We'll talk about that when we break down the games. It's Mike and George back after this. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, I want to tell you about a mission that we have this season, a partnership that we have with called DKMS. So the way I want you to help us with this is go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, and you're going to find out a couple of different things. You're going to find out, one, how to be a bone marrow donor, and you can enter yourself into the bone marrow donation pool. Two, you can make a donation, which we would love you to be able to do. And three, you're going to help us spread the word by finding out a little bit more about the DKMS cause. So DKMS and Roto Experts, as well as dailyroto.com/DKMS, are working together in order to help fight blood cancer. And there's a fun way in which you can do this. So you're going to be able to sign up there. And in that link, rotoexperts.com or dailyroto.com/DKMS, you're going to find a link to Fantasy Draft. And that Fantasy Draft link will take you to a free DFS contest. The free DFS contest sponsored by DKMS on Fantasy Draft and by Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's going to allow you to play and try to win two tickets to the Super Bowl. The way you do that is you win a particular week, weeks 1 through 16, and then the grand prize contest is week 17. So if you enter and win, it's free to play. You're free to find out all the information, and certainly we would love if you help us fight in our mission against blood cancer. So two tickets to the Super Bowl is what's on the line in that week 17 grand prize contest. So play and win. George, this is the week I'm going to win it. I know I've said that for the previous 6 weeks, but I'm pretty sure this is the week I'm going to have the winning lineup.
You're feeling it, huh?
Yeah, I am, and I'm not going to announce it on air this week because that I just feel like maybe people are going to steal my brilliant ideas and then win this week and then try to steal my two tickets to the Super Bowl.
How dare they? Steelers won't be there. Don't worry about it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Shot right across the bow. We're getting started. It's not even 8 a.m., and here we are. Well, it's neither of the Cowboys, buddy, because you guys are going to be without a running back. You're going to be without a running back potentially for the second half of the season.
Oh,
so
who the hell knows? I don't even want to get into Elliott. Suspended, not suspended, suspended, not suspended. This is a joke.
By the way, it could have been over with now.
Right.
Like, we could just be playing Zeke now for the rest of the year, and he would have it all behind him, and people would say, you know what, he served his punishment, and some people are going to say he's a really bad guy. I would say he's a bad guy if I knew for sure he was guilty of the thing that he's accused of. I don't know what to do with it because I'm not an attorney, and it sounds like he's a bad guy. We saw the other shenanigans he got into, and he's a jerk for doing that. But in any event, here we are. It's now potentially going to be worst-case scenario for fantasy owners, whereby he plays for a couple of more weeks, and then he's suspended for the rest of the regular season, correct?
It's a mess. I mean, it's just a mess. Now, well, the NFL wants an expedited ruling before the 30th, so they can have a decision before they play Washington next week. So he's only guaranteed tomorrow. That's it. And then we're going to play this game again this week of when the ruling comes down. Does he play? Does he not play? Then will there be another injunction, another appeal? I mean, like I said, this is a joke. It really is how long this has gone on for. And you're right. I mean, I from reading everything, I get why the courts couldn't convict him in the case because You know, the alleged accuser has problems of her own as far as lying, and you don't know what's true and what's not true. You know, the only thing we really know that's absolutely true is that he did lift up in that bar or that club, whatever you want to call that place, he did lift up that woman's shirt to expose her breasts. That we know. Mm-hmm. Other than that, everything else is just you're on one side or the other.
Yep. I agree. So we'll keep you posted. Like George said, Zeke Elliott's got tomorrow. I'm going to squeeze in one question here for our esteemed producer, Pete Considori. He's in a standard league, and he needs a tight end. It's only an eight-team league. So Delanie Walker, who's questionable? Cameron Brate, Evan Ingram, or Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy Graham. Giants don't like to touch. Giants hate covering a lot of tight ends. Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. Jimmy Graham. Even though he's been on Milk Carton a bunch of weeks, I can go Jimmy Graham here because Walker's injury hurts it. George and I will be back after the break to talk more about football for Week 7.